Previously on The Scope.
This is Shipwreck at G.I. Joe. I'm tired of you assholes picking on everything from left to right. Shane, lighten the fuck up. I'm gonna send the fucking G.I. Joe to get you. Adam, Cobra wants you. Enough said. And I'll tell you right now, Jared, you'd make a fine Joe. Just find a fucking gimmick or we're not gonna let you on the fucking team. Yo, Joe!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that knows the correct use of apostrophes. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we take a look back at something called Harry Potter. We dig into the summer's hottest music, and Adam attempts to use an Engorgio charm on Little Adam with moderate success.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Scope. This is our 34th installment of your favorite podcast out there. Moderate applause.
Very quiet applause.
Well, the music's potted down, so all the sound effects go with it.
They're waiting for bigger episodes.
More channels, Jared. More channels.
Guess I do.
The two other gents you hear talking are two of the three hosts of this show, Jared and Adam.
Who's host number three?
That would be me, Shane.
Oh.
And we've got a big, big show planned for everyone. Including ourselves. I'm very excited to get to it.
Can you say it like Ed Sullivan? At a really big show?
Yeah, I can, but I'm not going to.
Come on, do it for us.
No.
Please.
Adam will do it.
Go Adam,
ahead,
go.
Adam.
Really big shoe? Is that it?
Sure, like a size 14. Is that what you're wearing?
Isn't that how he said it?
It's a really big shoe, yeah. Initially, the whole concept behind today's show was going to be about Harry Potter and the legend that it is. Everyone knows that the final book, the final installment of the series, came out this past week or last week, depending upon when you listen to the show. And it's a big deal that it's over. And I got to thinking, Harry Potter's a great theme for the show, but there's a little bit more of what that is, and that theme would be loss. And the reason why I say that is because I want to talk a little bit about a loss that we here in Minnesota experienced, and talked to Jared a little bit about it, just because he's been here for a long time. Adam can chime in.
One might say all of my life.
All of your life. But what I'm referring to is a local newsstand that's been around Minnesota for about 90 years. It's called Shinders. They have sold everything from sports cards to comic books to games and...
keep going. You know it.
Pokemon, racing forms.
News, and then finally...
Bubblegum, Sobe, drinks.
Finally, where they
garbage pail kids.
Where they've made most of their money, Jared, that would be...
Pornography.
Okay. Everything else is just a front for selling porn.
Exactly.
But, Shinders recently, just within the last couple of weeks, closed their final store.
I had no idea this was even going on.
Yeah, it's something that is a fairly big deal in the Twin Cities. I mean, this newsstand carried on a tradition of selling periodicals that you really wouldn't find anywhere else. Maybe in some bookstores, but the fact that it was kind of the first official nerd focal point is something of note, and it means something to our show. For me, I actually found, back in the day, about 1984, 1985, I was, you know, in grade school, I started reading comic books, got into G.I. Joe, and back in those days, you could actually buy comic books in grocery stores and in drug stores, 7-Elevens, convenience stores. That's really where
Speedy Market, as I...
Yep, exactly. That's where you would buy the stuff, and usually they were in really bad condition, and, you know, you'd read them, maybe throw them away or whatever, and...
Millions of nerds.
Millions of nerds.
I think I have
crying
all
out in pain hearing you say that. Or yeah, throw millions, them.
A,
I mean, you know,
throw
five.
A comic away. Shane?
I never did, but I mean, it was fairly common. I mean,
line the birdcage.
Back in those days, comic books were printed on, you know, newsprint. The printing techniques and technology weren't really that high, so they were they tended to be more of a disposable concept, even though they really weren't to a lot of people. But you know, you go back to the year 1984, 1985. I find out that, hey, there's this local place in Minnesota where they sell tons of comic books. You can get anything you want. And what is going on over there on your lap?
Being molested by a
cat. I think the Engorgio charm is taking effect.
Not the results that he wanted, I don't think.
Get to your story.
It's a little furry. So anyway.
Losing me here.
Long story long, I find out about Schindler's, which, you know, I walk into this place as a fourth grader, fifth grader. I don't know how old I am. You know, 8, 9 at the time, 10. And they actually have comic books that are newer than what you can find in the drugstores. They actually
and there's more of them.
More of them. I mean, it was literally a geek's paradise. You go in there, and I actually remember it very clearly. The first comic I ever bought there was a G.I. Joe comic. It was number 43. It had a picture of Death, you know, the bones, skull and bones guy shooting an M60. And just to see that in the stores month or 2 months ahead of what you would see down at the local Snyder's drugstore was a fairly big deal. And over time, Schindler's kind of became my place to go for all of that stuff. I mean, I remember bugging my parents to take me every week, and
how close to the closest one did you live?
It was pretty far, actually. Okay. So, I mean, it wasn't a place that I could bike. I had to be driven there. So,
and kids, Borders didn't sell comic books back then.
No.
Borders wasn't even in this area.
No. I mean, there was B. Dalton bookstores.
Walden Books.
Yeah. And actually, those are a part of that, those chains, I believe. But the interesting thing about Schindler's itself is that I think that's where the whole concept of elitist nerd came into play. I remember the people working there thought they were much better than you. They always treated the little kids, the people that went in there to buy stuff, they treated them like crap.
Yeah.
You know, it was like an elitist club to be able to get a job there. So over time, Schindler's sort of lost its sparkle for me. You know, just the fact
that you thought my sparkle sound.
Yeah. I got a driver's license. So
you're saying that wasn't an appeal to you, the elitist nature of the...
Well, I think maybe if I were working there,
it would have
appealed to me. And, you know, funny story, I tried to get a job at Schindler's back in high school, but...
You were overqualified by being in high school. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't have enough Punisher and X-Men t-shirts to wear.
I think you have to be 18, too. So
yeah.
Were you 18 at the time?
I was not 18, but I was close to turning 18.
Since they sell pornography, you know, I think you do have to be 18.
I think that back in those days, though, they would separate that. So if you were a little bit younger, they just wouldn't let you work in those areas.
I know back when I tried to get a job there, you had to be 18.
Oh, really?
I don't remember. It was a few years ago, but yeah.
Back when I tried to get a job.
So yeah, after I got a driver's license and found out that there were in existence stores that sold just comic books, you know, none of the sports cards crap or porno stuff. I mean, you know, who cares about that, right? Or magazines like Elle or Cosmopolitan, which they carried a lot of as well. I slowly switched over to going to real comic book stores where I was only assaulted by one giant nerd instead of four or five being mean to me. And I lost.
And lo and behold, you found you can still get porn.
Absolutely.
At the comic store.
Exactly. Comic book stores, they're a different kind too. They're like nicer. Like they like try to help, but they still scare you just as.
There's
much.
A relatability factor just because of the fact that you are going into this store, you're seeking them out. I mean, it's definitely a specialty type of thing.
They're like, oh boy, the fodder comes to us.
Exactly. You know, the interesting thing about that is over time, the comic book market sort of crashed and went away, and a lot of these comic book stores that I went to went out of business. And so at the end of the day, really, Schindler's was the last store standing. But
you always figured that they would be there no matter if your neighborhood store had closed or not.
Exactly.
Schindler's would always be there.
And, you know, they did a pretty good job, but with the advent of the internet, a lot of the information that they were selling in the form of magazines you could find online faster, easier, and free.
And porn.
I mean, it was technology killed the business. And not to mention the owners of Schindler's, Joel Schindler and his family, they sold it to another guy who was a drug addict and, you know.
It wasn't even part of the family,
no,
right?
Money laundering. And he, within a few short years, he literally drove the company into the ground. And it is where it is today, which is nowhere. So a lot of people are bummed about that.
Now, are the last stores closed now officially?
They are closed. There's no stores left. Who knows? Maybe at some point someone will pick it up and, you know, try to do something with it. But
are you really bummed or is it like good riddance? Because
no.
I mean, obviously I don't have the history with it. Then again, I don't feel affection for any store that I can think of.
Sure.
But I mean, you know, I moved here and I went there. I don't know. I've been there a bunch of times. But like as soon as I found like real comic book stores, you, like you compare them.
Not even close.
Right. It's like Schindler's were gross. Like even the one in Roseville, which is like, you know, like suburban and That one's gross too.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a seediness factor that comes into play with Schindler's. I think I mean,
they're grosser than Sex World.
Do you think so?
Well, no, but still.
I know what you're saying, though.
The downtown one was pretty scuzzy.
Yeah. I think the thing with Schindler's is what it represented, which was this place where people could go and buy comic books and have that location for nerdiness, and the fact that you did figure they would always be around. Instead, they're gone, and I think it's just ends up being one less place where kids can go to actually buy this stuff and know that it's out there. Not saying that they were.
It's one less place for kids to get porn.
Maybe from on the to play devil's advocate, it might be a good thing now that the comics and Pokemon have a little more distance from the porn back room than they used to.
That's a good point, but you know, I guess it is what it is. Jared, do you have any Schindler's memories, or I mean, did you go there as a kid all the time?
I absolutely did, and actually, the Roseville store was the one that I went to first. And you know, I'll admit I haven't been to a Schindler's in many, many years, but I do have fond memories of, you know, back when we were younger and we were really too young to get into bars or whatever, or we just weren't into that scene.
Too young to, so we went to comic book stores. And
stuff. No, what I'm trying to tell a story, but that's okay. Sorry. You can interrupt all you want. You know, sometimes late at night, we just, you know, like Earl and myself and maybe some other people would go downtown to Schindler's because there was really nothing else to do. And it was open like 24 hours, or at least it was open really late. So I know it was just kind of a cool place to hang out, check out the magazines, and not the adult magazines, the regular magazines and comics and stuff, and just kill time. Earl was definitely in the back room. Definitely. I think he had a running tab, actually.
Oh, Mr. Earl, you're here for your Saturday regular stuffing.
Can we get you that Cosmopolitan and a rubdown while you wait?
Yeah. We've got your copy of Big Bottoms.
You actually mean the magazine Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, yeah. No, I have fond memories of going there and buying comics and a lot of collector cards from movies and X-Men and all that kind of stuff, you know. So, they've gotten a lot of my money over the years.
But not recently.
Not recently.
Yeah, same thing. So, I think with a bit of sadness and maybe an understated mourning period, we can wish Schindler's goodbye.
Hopefully we can get over this.
And we can get over it, right?
And move on.
We will move on. So that's...
with our lives, not the podcast. We should have a moment of silence.
Exactly.
The podcast will certainly go on for another 2 hours.
And that's our moment of silence. So, Jared...
I can edit in a longer moment if you want.
Very nice. I would like to hear that.
Maybe with...
I'll put in 30 minutes of
taps
pause.
Or whatever that...
I know. Here I am. I'm like thinking I should dig out my taps. And yeah. It's too late now. I think we're at the end. Now Fred is coming to visit you and sue me.
He's making the rounds. Well, we've got one more order of business, Jared, before we get on to the Harry Potter discussion.
What's that?
That would be the scope poll.
Should be playing taps for those, too.
Uh-oh.
Get ready to vote for your favorite. It's time for the scope poll.
Yeah, so last time the poll in episode 33, if you remember, was this. It's been said that you are either a Beatles person or an Elvis person. So, which is it? And with 100% of the votes, the Beatles win. Yay! Applause.
You know my problem with this poll? We didn't really talk about it right before.
No.
And my roommate actually brought this point up, and that because I guess she didn't know the reference from Pulp Fiction. That's where you
yeah,
from,
exactly.
Right?
Oh, I didn't get that.
Is that for her, it's more Beatles or Stones, which, and I think the Stones are just...
I would lump Stones in with the Beatles, kind of that.
Would you? See, I'd lump.
See, it's more. It's kind of more of a British Invasion versus American Ritz Rock, essentially. Kind of what it breaks down to.
Because they're both kind of stolen from black rock.
Oh, so yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Where I would, that's where I guess they all are.
Yeah, the Beatles cut their teeth doing Little Richard covers. Anyway, so there you go. I'm gonna have to make an announcement here, and that is that the scope poll is going on hiatus. It's very sad. I'm gonna play some booze. It's terrible. Basically, due to apathy both on the part of the audience and of your hosts, the poll's just going to go away for a while. Maybe it comes back in the future. I don't know. We're thinking of ways to retool it. Maybe it's a web-only poll. I don't know. Or maybe it just, goes away much like Harry Potter.
Maybe we pay people to start.
No, but clearly there wasn't the interest and it wasn't really attracting interaction with the audience the way I had hoped it would. So, honestly, I guess I blame it all on them. Right, Shane?
I blame it on them as well.
I blame it on specifically women audience members.
Come on, Fred. There we go.
You're so a woman hater. It's unbelievable.
It's a callback.
They might blame it. I get it. They might blame you.
That's all I got.
That's all you got.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, Sculpt Poll is over, but the show is not. As I said earlier, Saga of Harry Potter is over. I think Jared said it. I think Adam said it. So this episode, we'll take an in-depth look at Miss Rowling's masterpiece, or is it Mrs.? I don't know if she's married.
Maybe a Ms.
She is married. With she is married. Children Mrs. and everything.
Well, I know she has kids, but maybe she's such a bitch that that people can't get along with.
Madam Rowling?
I don't know. Maybe she's nice. Who knows? Anyway.
Is she a dame yet? Dame Rowling?
She should be. We'll take a look at the Harry Potter saga from both a film and a literary perspective. And to tackle a subject this big, this important, we brought in a self-proclaimed Harry Potter expert, and you'll meet her. Yes, I said her in just a couple of minutes. And she's never been on the show. She has no idea what she's gotten into, and it's going to be fabulous.
She's clearly frightened.
We're also welcoming back into the fold the Scope Speedy CD review. Yes, we've got a ton of music to cover, but only 10 seconds for each album to give our opinions. Truly revolutionary, if there was such a thing. Finally,
I love your enthusiasm.
Finally,
truly revolutionary.
Yeah, we've got nerdy news and all the coming soon stuff.
Blah, blah, blah.
You could ask for, Jared.
I'm not asking for much. Can we go home now?
Yes. No. So, everybody, stick around for the magical 34th episode of The Scope. Ooh. We'll be back right after this.
Let's listen in as friends and family of The Scope talk about how the creators of the show, each in their own special way, impacted and inspired their lives.
Hello, this is the great Luke Ski. The life of a globe-trotting dementia superstar truly is everything it appears to be. The adoring fans, the spectacular live shows, the merchandising opportunities. It's all good. But true greatness had eluded me until the day Jared asked to record me reading this page of seemingly impromptu text. At last, my career would be legitimized by the close association with the legendary podcasters known collectively as The Scope. At last, I could consider them my broadcasting brethren. It fills me with pride that I am now one step closer to the high peaks inhabited by Shane's artful hosting and Adam's insightful commentary. So keep kicking ass, fellas. I now know greatness, for I have borne witness to yours. Buy my CDs at www.lukeski.com. You're listening to The Scope.
Thanks for sharing. If you'd like to tell the world how The Scope has changed your life for the better, send your audio comments to comments@thescopeshow.com. Now, back to The Scope.
Ladies and gentlemen, the seventh and final Harry Potter book has just been released. Harry's adventure is over, and we're going to take a scope look at all things Potter. We've got a lot planned, everyone. A quick nerd roundtable on the world of Hogwarts.
A lawsuit from
John Williams.
John Williams.
Scope scores on every Harry Potter movie. We've got a Harry Potter expert, and Jared has a secret segment.
We'll revisit. Yes, I do.
It's very secret. Before we start, let me take a second to introduce our very special guest. She's begged me to be on the show for months, and her time is now. She knows Potter, she knows how to talk, and she's a girl. It's Molly, everybody. Molly, talking to the mic, loud, strong, and clear. You're here.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to tell me your favorite Harry Potter character and why.
My favorite Harry Potter character would be Ron.
Why is that?
Sounds awesome.
No, it's not Ron. Actually, for the longest time, it was the twins.
The twins.
I like the twins ever since they gave Harry a toilet seat in the first book when he was in the hospital.
You like all of the poor characters in Harry Potter, the ones that are sort of the vagabonds and...
In other words, the Weasleys.
The Weasleys.
She hates Percy, though.
The Weasley's mother, my name, Molly. How can I not like the Weasleys? It's like they're my own children, even though I don't have children.
That's very frightening. Now, let me ask you a question. All of our Scope regular Scope listeners are wondering, are you single, and would you date comic book nerds and overweight fellows?
What? Do I have to answer the question?
And I know it's a yes and all.
You should answer it meanly, too.
Yeah.
As meanly as possible.
I hate comic books.
Yeah? No. You do hate them?
No.
Science fiction?
No.
Do you get into that at all?
What's one of your favorite shows, Molly?
What's one of my favorite shows? I love, 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 love Battlestar Galactica.
That's great. A sci-fi show.
That's a sci-fi show.
Very
it's
nice.
A sci-fi show.
It clearly is.
And because of it, I've started watching a little bit more of the Sci-Fi Channel.
Wow. I don't even watch that, Jared.
Yeah, that's trouble.
I know. Now, but Battlestar is the only fantastic.
Now, what I'm gathering from what you're saying here is that it's going to be okay if we put your picture and phone number on the website and feel free to call you at any time. Is that what we're getting at?
May I Photoshop the picture?
No. Well, I've got one, a great one of you that I took earlier that I could put up there.
May I Photoshop it?
I'll take care of that. I'm great at Photoshop. It's part of my...
My number includes a 555.
Look, she's already breaking
the classic movie number. It's 675309.
You're already funnier than the three of us combined. So before we get into this, everybody, let's go over some Harry Potter facts. I thought this could...
First talk about how we can't talk about the seventh book?
Yes, okay.
Or the sixth book, for that matter, for those of us who aren't aware of it yet.
Aww. Well, it does exist, Jared. It is out there.
2 years. 2 years.
I know. I'm actually going to start reading the books.
Yeah, okay. For the record, everyone, we will not be talking specifics about the seventh book. I have not finished it. Jared has not started it. Actually, Jared's got about...
You two can just leave, and Molly and I can talk about it.
Yes, and I will cry.
I've got about 3,600 pages to go yet before I get to the end of that one.
Not bad. Not bad. So we won't be talking about that, so it's a spoiler-free world. It'll be general conversation, and there may be some trivia coming up later, but it's really not going to give away key plot points. Mm-hmm. And if you guys were listening to us talk all at the same time, you might have heard Molly mention crying. This week at work, Molly literally has been crying off and on throughout the workday, and she's tore up about what?
Just the end. The end. There's a term for it. It's called fictional loss.
Yes.
Like any television show ending or books ending, it's like they compare it to the loss of a pet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not supposed to say, it'll be okay, you'll be okay in a couple days, because that's not the case.
So are you crying fictional tears, or are these real tears?
I don't mean for them to be real, but they are.
What is the... Just, okay, do me a favor. Okay. Think of something very sad in the seventh book right now.
I don't.
And let's test.
No, don't do that, because I ran over here with Adam, and I bawled in the car.
She really is tearing up, crowd. Oh. This is amazing. Well, hopefully we'll get a lot of that, and I want to hear some bellowing, perhaps. That might be good.
Where's Artie when you need him?
I don't know.
Wah! The book's over!
Wah!
Not a bad problem.
I can't buy any more books!
So I suppose, Molly, you want to know about my Harry Potter statistics.
I do.
Okay, so let's get into it. Since the release of the first novel, Harry mm-hmm. Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, mm-hmm. retitled Sorcerer's Stone in the United States, Jared.
Because apparently we're stupid here.
We don't understand it.
We don't understand big words like philosopher.
Because we have different publishers.
Oh, is that it?
Yes, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, well.
And our publishers think we're stupid.
Yes, that is it.
A publisher named Scholastic admits that we're stupid.
Yes. Well, screw them. And that happened in 97. The books have gained immense popularity. Can you believe it? Critical acclaim and commercial success.
I'm just hearing about it now. I mean, was there on the internet at all?
Wait, can I ask a question?
Talk? Please. Interrupt my facts. Go ahead.
Okay. it's related to your fact.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They released the British version, the Bloomsbury version, a year before. So is your 97 the British or the American?
Let's say whatever Wikipedia puts in there, because I don't
know.
Why do we always go to Wikipedia for our knowledge?
Because everything there is true.
Everything is true. There's not
better than Encyclopedia Britannica is what I'm reading.
That was going to be a news story, but I'll just throw that away now.
You could still cover it. Just call it a tease, Shane. It's a
very
Shane,
nice.
Adam.
You don't
whatever.
Ever know. Yes, we're so similar. The seven books published to date have collectively sold more than 325 million copies and have been translated into more than 63 languages.
Did they invent new ones to translate into?
They have it in Latin.
It's in Elvish now.
Elvish and
Potterus.
The language
or
that Greedo
like that.
Speaks.
Esperanto, is it in that?
Huttese from Java. the seventh book.
I wonder what the Latin one would look like.
It's even in Old Greek. Or old
English. Ye Old English.
Well,
Old Spice.
It's in Welsh.
Maybe I could just let you come up with facts. You seem to have a brain full of them. Publishers announced a record-breaking 12 million copies for the first print run in the U.S. for the seventh book, Harry Potter
US.
And the Deathly Hallows, and 8.3 copies sold in the first 24 hours.
Only 8.3 copies?
8.3.
You would think they would have sold more, Shane.
I don't really got the percent. 8.3 million copies. And for the record, the success of the novels has made J.K. Rowling the highest earning novelist in literary history, beating out Stephen King and Rush Limbaugh.
Well, not only that.
He's a novelist.
And Salman Rushdie.
Please.
Well, Tom Clancy, the guy.
It's
go
not
ahead.
Just it's not just novelists. Isn't she the richest British woman?
I believe she is.
Let's say she is.
So that's more than just novelists. She beats out everyone.
Mollypedia comes through. That's where I get my information.
Is that .com or .org?
Molly, are you an organization?
It's dot info.
It's dot
TV. It's dot I know everything.
Very nice.
Wow.
Well, I've got a list of Harry Potter questions, and I want to throw this out to our panelists. Okay. Let's start with number one.
Okay.
Why does this book and this character in particular strike such a chord with people, Molly? What is it about Harry Potter?
Mm-hmm. It's because he's got tragic things that happen to him, yet he's good, and you want to believe in the whole... He'll conquer all. I don't know. I don't really relate to
That's
him.
That's wrong, Adam.
Because Hermione's boobs.
And how they develop those. Oh. And Jared.
I have no answer.
Buzz yourself.
What's the answer?
He's an underdog.
This is like a subjective thing, isn't it?
I
mean,
you're the one buzzing wrong answer.
Yeah, I like the buzzing.
It's terrible trivia.
So let's talk about what the critics say.
I thought we were doing trivia. Is that later?
Yeah, we're getting to that. We got segments, folks. critics argue that the books encourage witchcraft and godlessness. What do you guys think of that?
We can't talk about book seven, but there's a huge thing where it's clearly not that.
Clearly.
I don't get where any of that really comes from. That's like saying Star Wars teaches witchcraft and godlessness in the exact same way. I mean, it's essentially the exact same story
It goes down as a mythological type of story. I mean, it's a basic story in the human vernacular.
I think that people just have a knee-jerk reaction to the term witch is what it comes down to, which I don't get, but that's
I mean, witches don't exist anyway.
Right.
So
I think if they're giving these books that much credence, then on the other side of the coin, you must consider the Bible to be fiction, right?
I would agree.
Wow, here we go.
Look at that.
Firestorm.
But if they were called, like, girl wizards, I don't think that it would be as big a thing. But
maybe.
People freak out because of that word.
Yeah. Maybe. Witchcraft, here's a radical idea.
Uh-oh.
Maybe there really are witches, and they've seen them, and they don't like them. And so they're the ones who don't want there to be witches.
The critics?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
That's deep.
It's way too deep.
It's too deep for this show.
We're all about surface here.
Okay. Come
on. Hermione's boobs.
The covers look nice.
They really do. Drawn by one of us. Mm-hmm. So
a Minnesotan.
A Minnesotan, that's what I mean.
You're really into hitting that table hard.
I'm really hitting it.
You're like a judge holding court.
Correct.
His gavel down.
Correct. So will the Harry Potter series, I think this might be a stupid question, but will it go down in history as a classic series of books in the scope of like a Lord of the Rings, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
I just read an article on that today.
Really? You're reading a lot of things, keeping you busy at work.
I read them in my spare time. The article said no, it won't, because Harry doesn't follow the tragic flaw that all these other characters and have the moral that he learns at the end, which I don't really understand, because I feel like he does, but I guess in their opinion, he didn't, but does.
Maybe it's just a...
You're spoiling everything.
Wow.
It's okay. I know some stuff that I don't want
I don't even know
anything away.
Okay. So let's not talk about how it ends. Let's just talk about general trends, shall we? I think that...
I'm sorry, everyone.
I'm just looking at Fred and waiting for him to turn into like a wizard.
Off the show.
Transfigure Fred himself. Fred kind of looks like the cat from the first movie that McGonagall turns into.
Crazy.
Fred the cat. I think...
Yeah. if you want to know what Fred looks like.
I think that it's easy to trash or say that the Harry Potter novels will not be something that will be classic, but I think clearly it will be. I mean, you think about what it's brought to the world of literature and literacy and how it's encouraged kids to read. I mean, I don't think that the craziness where you see, you know, 12-year-olds walking around in shopping malls or out on the beach reading the books, you know, with their heads buried into them while their family and friends are doing other things, I don't think that will happen. But I definitely feel like this will be something that will continue on through the generations and be fairly timeless. And I think that in itself will propel it to that legendary status.
Just, do you think the Hardy Boys are timeless too? Because I'm not saying it's the same thing. Okay.
No, well, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think they're on the same
level. No, I'm saying, sure, I understand what you're saying. I don't think it's the same. I mean, the Hardy Boys...
I know, but I don't think at the time, like, The Hardy Boys might be a terrible example.
Sure.
But, they're a terrible example.
I don't think at the time it would have been possible. Like, if Harry Potter came out in the, whatever that was, 40s? I don't know when the Hardy Boys and stuff came out. But, you know, like, it wouldn't have been possible for it to, at the time, have been as big either.
Sure.
So. Well, I read a fact that said...
Is it something about how the end of the seventh book goes?
Was this on Mollypedia?
That said 10% of the British population now own the seventh book. So how could it not go down in history if that many people have it and it's going to be passed down or passed on?
Interesting thing, only 6% of the British population own toothbrushes.
Wow. But, okay, wait. What's the percentage of people that have seen Titanic? Does that actually make it, you know...
I hate Titanic.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I don't know. It's a good point.
I don't know. But...
My first one.
Let's mark it down.
No, 34 shows, ladies and gentlemen, and he finally comes through.
I think we can shut down now, right?
That was a good point.
Thank you for
We've gotten off topic, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we have a little bit. Molly, do you want to close that up, or do you feel like you've said everything you need to say?
Do you have any more facts?
Any more facts?
I think it'll go down. I think there's no reason for it not to.
Fair enough. Molly says it to be so, therefore it is. Adam and I have talked about this on the show before, but let's get into it. Moving into the film versions of these, are the films the best way to present Harry Potter in a moving picture format? Adam and I say no, it isn't.
I think Adam's idea is amazing.
And Adam and I came up with it almost at the same time, so it would be Adam and my idea.
Wow. But I've claimed it for my own.
Wow. Yeah.
Which clearly I was not contributing.
Which is... this was before Harry Potter. Harry Potter might be better off as a television show, something where they can dedicate the time and resources to really fleshing out what the book is. A lot of things are cut out of the movies, and that may not be a good thing, Molly.
Well, if you do it on each season is 1 year,
mm-hmm.
That's Adam's idea. I think that's fantastic because you can go into it and then maybe when Rowling comes out with that encyclopedia, you can do all the other things that she never added into the books. I mean, you can go into such detail conversation.
Yes.
That's something we haven't mentioned is that she's doing kind of an extended universe if it was like Star Wars terms.
Yeah.
To it, so like there'll be like added exposition.
You're doing a Potterpedia,
really? Yeah,
exactly.
Which
a pedia is a very big thing for us.
And I think that would make sense because, like, especially for like the first couple books, I don't know that you could make them into full seasons, but like you could. I mean, things would obviously be able to be fleshed out much more, and you could go much more into, especially in the first season, the history of both Hogwarts, you know, the magical world.
You could go back to all the family's history. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could go back through all the purebloods, all the everything. You can, I mean, it's all history. Fantastic.
It could be very interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you think that something could ever happen? Where you know, we see a revisiting of the Harry Potter universe. I think it's only a matter of time.
See, I don't think it'll happen.
You don't think so somewhere down the line?
Too much integrity.
Maybe 25 years from now?
I think they revisit everything, so why wouldn't they revisit the most popular book in history to this point?
I think she's just taking a break.
Skeptical.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure to write these kind of books over this long period of time. At some point, you get burned out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I remember reading an article once where like she talked about that, and she needed to make sure she didn't start hating her own characters because of that.
That was right after 4.
I was like right around 5.
Well, she had deadlines for 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave her own she was able to pick her deadlines from all the books after that.
Interesting.
So she took, between 4 and 5, that was her longest break. And she was able to take a break and write it how she wanted and like her own characters.
At some point they realized, hey, these are going to make a lot of money. Let her do what she wants.
So that leads into my next question. She says no more Harry Potter books.
No, she didn't say... Well, she's changing that now. She's changing that now.
I'm just saying, do you think that there ever will be a continuation to the series, whether it is a peripheral character or Harry Potter himself?
It's kind of unfair to ask that, seeing as we can't discuss the seventh book.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Because,
I think you could. I don't know. Not discuss it, but there could be continuing books with other characters. If you look at, like, I don't know if anyone's read the Ender series of books from Orson Scott Card.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a whole series, number of books that dealt with side characters from the main Ender's Game book.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, and that's like a kind of a unique example because it's actually the exact same story.
Yeah,
like,
that's
the
true.
The Shadow books are, like, the exact same things from book one are happening during the first Shadow book, but it's just a different character that it's focused on.
Which yeah. I think but then he does a couple books after that to take place on Earth.
Like, if we're allowed to talk about book five, like, book five is, like, strongly focused on Neville. Mm-hmm. And that would be, like, a really interesting character because of what you find out in book five.
I think so, too.
Find out more about, especially, like, his family.
I mean, they could do that.
I think they could go back in time and do all of Harry's parents mm-hmm. and in the whole their time and even go back to Dumbledore's time and Voldemort's time at Hogwarts. And
why couldn't they just pick another school to focus on?
Oh, that's true.
You know? It wouldn't necessarily have to be as big of an adventure as or as important as Harry Potter's story.
It's built up so much right now on Hogwarts and, you know, Britain as mm-hmm. the focal point. That, like, I mean, yeah, we found out that other countries have their own schools and stuff, but it's like, I don't really find myself caring that much, even though, like, those characters keep appearing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Would she ever turn it over to another author to maybe write something from one of those
if
other schools?
If she wanted no one to read them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be
just throwing it out there.
Oh, I know. Like, I was thinking that, too. Like, who angry. Would? But, yeah. I mean, it's very much along the lines of what Lucas did with Star Wars, you know. I mean, I guess he gets approval on that stuff, but, like, it doesn't seem like it.
Mm-mm. So.
Well, there's a new character that's introduced in the last book, and I won't say any more than that. But,
okay.
But he could have a whole...
Now it's ruined.
History. Yeah.
There's new characters. I can't deal.
A lot of bleeping.
Beep, beep, beep.
Sorry.
So you're...
But they, I mean, do you know who I'm talking about?
And I don't either. So one last question. Grown men dressing up in Harry Potter costumes, waiting in line for the book. Your opinion, Jared?
I didn't see that many of them at the event, honestly. There's a couple. We talked to them, and that was about it.
I
think it's okay.
I think it's great that people get excited about it.
Over a book. That's the thing.
I mean, that's what's interesting.
A little side conversation over here.
Yeah, they're having a good time. Jared, so...
Sorry.
Well, if you had our own done all the work and read two...
We still wouldn't be talking about
I would
this.
Use
I know.
Book.
Yeah. I know.
It's all my fault.
And to answer your question, I don't really see anything inherently wrong with it because, I mean, for the most part, I think it's mostly people going, like, with their kids and families and stuff.
Wait.
And it's like,
the question is, did the mom
dressing
make
up
the
in
costumes?
I almost made a shirt.
But was it like a real Harry Potter-esque shirt, or would it be like a t-shirt that had, like, hey, I'm Harry Potter, waiting in line?
No, we're going to make shirts, my roommate and I, that said, I love Hedwig and I love Crookshanks.
Wow. Is your roommate single?
Yes.
Can we get a snapshot of her, and maybe you two could have a contest to see how many Scope people you could date?
She would win.
Scope fans.
She would win. No, but we decided our idea was too grandiose.
Nice. We'll have her in next time.
Molly is nothing if not modest.
But there were so many little kids dressed up.
Well, I think that's exciting, you know, for them.
And there were some...
My child would never dress up.
Stinky little kids dressed up in some crazy little ball gowns.
I don't know if you already set aside a thing for us to talk about our experience getting the book, or
Adam
if you
want to. Adam and I got the book together.
Well, let's save it to the end.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah, because we've got some material to tie into
that. We can
add
to the news, because there's actually a news item.
Well, no, we can do it later in the block. We just got some... We have some audio to tie into that.
Okay.
So, guys, we've spent a lot of time talking about the books. Let's dig into the movies.
Movies.
We're going to give each of these movies...
Are they films? Adam, can you clarify?
Movies or films? I don't know.
Considering the time of the year they all come out, I'd call them movies.
Okay, movies. So, well,
is motion pictures on the table? Is that possible?
The first couple came out at Christmas.
Right. I mean, everything summer and Christmas are both.
Yeah, okay. Movies.
So, movies. There's been five of them. Let's start with the very first one came out... How many years ago? 5 years ago? 4 years ago?
It came out when I was a freshman in college.
Well, can you give me perspective on that?
Was it the 21st century?
That would be 7 or 8 years ago.
7 or 8 years ago. Okay. So it's that movie would be Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Let's go around the room and see what people think of it. We will start with Adam. In a clockwise position.
All right.
So,
first of all, do you realize that she only made $1 million off of the movie, signing the movie rights away? Like $1.3 million.
For all of the movies or just that one?
I think all of them.
Oh. But doesn't she get merchandising?
Yeah.
She's got to get
She gets
royalties off
that.
Her merchandising and things.
All mine are like one line. So
go ahead.
I'll expand if we really need to. But my biggest thing about this movie is that the Sorting Hat song from the book that I hated, gone. So I gave it 3 stars.
Molly?
I would give it 3 stars. And you... Oh.
One sentence why you would give it...
One sentence why I would give it 3 stars, because I thought it kept the magicalness of the book for the awe of the first one.
Intact.
This world intact, you know, when the kids are going through the whole experience and just looking around, there's just that awe factor of being excited, and it kept it. I like that.
Okay, Jared.
For someone who hadn't read the books, I thought it was a great introduction to the world. I got enough information to understand what was going on, and it got me excited for more. I also gave it 3 stars.
I'm a little more of a downer on this particular level. I thought that it did capture the essence of the book. But I thought that also it was a little heavy-handed in terms of its directing, and it wasn't quite as magical as what I thought.
That's kind of your go-to directing term.
Heavy-handedness?
These days. Heavy-handedness. Yeah. Used it for Michael Bay, and now for Chris Columbus.
Well, I think they may be cut from the same cloth in some ways.
You think so?
I don't
one of them makes kids movies.
Are they
movies,
frat brothers?
Though,
and
I just don't. I think that they both lack nuance when it comes to directing.
I agree with that, but one of them makes movies that are for a group of people that don't really get nuance.
2 stars is what I give it.
All right. Wow.
Nuance that.
Wow. Well, I based my review on having watched it 2 days ago. So
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the second film. Adam?
My least favorite book and my least favorite movie, 2.5 stars.
Molly?
My least favorite book and my least favorite movie as well. Nice, Adam.
I want you to do make out or something.
But I do like Chris Columbus, so I'll give it 2.
2 stars. That's a good solid C rating, Jared.
My least favorite book and my least favorite movie. No. Actually, yeah, this is my least favorite of the 5 that have been out. Didn't seem as fun as the first one, so I gave it 2.5.
I'm going to be in the same boat with all of you guys. I thought this was way too long. Workmanlike in a bad way. That's
workmanlike.
Yes. By the numbers, quite boring and joyless.
That's the book.
1.5 stars.
All the books.
Joyless.
I will say that going back, the second book might actually be one of the more important ones. You know, like in terms of like what
set
happens.
Up, that
yeah.
sort of
set
thing.
Up,
you
know.
I've been watching that one again too, and there's things in there that I'm even in the movies I'm starting to pick up on things.
Well, she said that all throughout writing the 6th one that everything relates to 2. Everything relates to 2, but it is so boring. It felt when up until 6 came out, 2 felt like it was just a pass-through book, like a separate little story that had nothing to
Can't
do with
to
the
whole
plot.
Yeah, sure, dig in. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, the 3rd movie, much different looking movie than the rest of them, and it was one of the first that really cut out a lot of stuff from the book. Adam,
this was the first one, like you said, where cutting stuff from the book really started to bug me. They don't really go over Wormtail's betrayal as much as I would have liked. And the origin of Harry's Patronus, which is a huge thing, is not even mentioned. Perfect casting for Padfoot, so I gave it 3 stars.
Molly McButter?
Well, I couldn't stand that they cut everything.
You're looking at me like an edit?
No.
I felt like I went to it with a friend, and I had to explain so many things afterwards that they had no idea what was going on. So while the stylizing that Alfonso did...
Roberto?
Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh.
Alfonso, nice to try though, Shane.
Alfonso Cuarón did. I like his style of film and everything like that, but just the script, it threw me off. And so I'd give it a 2.5.
Wow. Jared?
I don't have the books to look to figure out what was cut out. So this was my favorite of the films until the 5th one. I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. I like the switch in style, and I thought it moved right along. So I gave it 3.25 stars.
I mean, I'm pointing out things I didn't like, but I did, you know, I definitely liked it overall.
Jared, I'm with you. I gave it 3.25 stars. I thought it was beautifully directed. I thought the casting was great. And I didn't really have a problem with things being cut out just because of the nature of film itself, and you know, for pacing's sake, I think that it was okay. I think if a like a miniseries or a television program was done with this, you'd have to have all that stuff. And if it looked like this movie, I think it'd be very successful.
Well, I liked how the style of it was, but I felt like if they were going for like a straight narrative to be able to keep everything in it, they missed some things. They missed some things, and they could have cut other things, like. And I didn't necessarily enjoy his time thing. I mean, I know that's something to add because Hermione's time changer that she was using. And, but I didn't really see it going all the way through, I guess.
Well, let's see what you find out about the 4th Harry Potter movie. What was the name of that one, Adam?
Goblet of Fire.
Goblet of Fire. Adam, tell us your opinion in the round table.
The lack of spew, despite the fact that...
in a squared circle.
I was kind of annoyed with it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
While I was reading it, but then kind of came to miss it, and then it winds up not really being important later, but like kind of, you know, house elves are just like more important to the story later on. So I thought not having that. And it seemed like a little tiny thing to have like more Hermione development. So I never really liked that. It wasn't there. But Ralph Fiennes is perfect for Voldemort. So I give this one 3 stars too.
Molly.
My favorite book, and I thought they ruined it with the movie.
Wow.
I was so disappointed. I thought they cut out... Well, my biggest issue is not that they cut things out, is that they added their own stuff and that they completely changed it. It was... So that just bothers me. You can cut things out, but don't... If you're going to cut, don't add your own stuff.
Rating.
So I would give it, besides... or I'll give it 1.5. But Ralph Fiennes, I do... That he was perfectly cast.
Perfect casting.
Perfect casting. So I guess actually this would be my least favorite movie if I'm giving it lower than the second one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Jared, your opinion.
I like this one quite a bit. I like the danger and adventure that was brought to it. I like the
Molly like assaulting the microphone.
It was finally Voldemort is back in the flesh, and you know that it's going to be all downhill from here. I was a little creeped out by the longish hair that all the boys had to wear in this film. It was really kind of weird. So,
I agree.
But I would give it 3 stars.
It especially made no sense considering the history of Harry's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
this is like all the boys had these longer hair.
Yeah.
And it was like
these
really
manes.
Odd
they just
style choice.
Terrible.
Full disclosure, I have not seen this movie. This movie came out right when I had my first child, not gave birth to, but helped raise, and pretty much a lot of my movie going went out of the window.
Strangely, your DVD player still works. And
yes, and I do own the movie, and I haven't watched it, so sue me.
Don't.
What is the final movie, Adam?
Order of the Phoenix.
That just came out a couple of weeks ago. People are talking about it. There are lines around the block, and let's find out
very
Adam...
Very small blocks, but yeah.
Blocks that two people can stand around. Adam, what did you think about the most recent installment of the Harry Potter movie universe?
It was my favorite so far, and I'm really happy to see that a lot of people think so too, because it actually is the shortest movie for the longest book, which is kind of surprising.
I was angry about that at first until I saw it.
I know. Leaving Neville's plot out, I mentioned that earlier. Neville has a really important plot line that extends through the rest of the series, kind of.
He definitely got some importance in this film, though, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's in it, and he's not just a doofus, but he's... still kind of a doofus. And Umbridge is like one of the best villains. She was portrayed perfectly in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Every nuance they found.
I gave it 3.25.
3.25 star. Molly, can you top that?
Yes, I would give it 3.5.
Wow.
For the longest time, the first movie was my favorite because I thought it followed the closest. But this one, even though they cut more than half the book, I thought they kept the best narrative. They picked the right stuff to keep in the movie.
What about the stuff they added from the previous movie? Did that make it into this movie?
What do you mean?
You said there was stuff added in the fourth movie.
No, it was just how they changed the story and kind of added their own plot points to
it.
I didn't like that. But this one, if they added something, it was somewhere else in the book, and it was just their way of trying to keep it in the movie.
Gotcha.
So I don't like that they cut Neville out, but I understand to keep it this narrative going, they had to do that. The only thing that really bugged me was the end. They cut the prophecy. So the prophecy was much longer in the book, and it had a lot more references, and that I guess that pertained to Neville, and I just thought they rushed the explanations at the end. But besides that, I enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to, and I was really happy with it.
3.5 stars. Jared, you just saw this movie. I know you were taken by it.
I was taken to another world, a magical realm. No, this was my favorite film of the series so far. I thought it's moved rather quickly, and I like that. I wasn't bored at all. I like the fact that they've kind of expanded Harry's core group of people who go on his adventures with him now. Up to at least they featured 6 of them in the movie. I don't know how many are in the book, but
that's correct.
Yeah, I really liked it quite a bit.
Interesting how Jared's love of these movies seemed to increase as does Hermione's budding something. It's a up and up.
You have a sick mind.
Hair. I do.
Her hair
just gets bigger
episode.
And bigger.
But Ron loves her too.
Well, I guess Jared can fight a fake character for the love of Hermione, who also is another
fake
character.
Can I throw out a little tidbit that has nothing to do with the movies, but only kind of? Ron, the guy who plays Ron, owns...
Rupert Grint.
Rupert Grint.
Could be a character name right there.
I love the name Rupert. Besides that, Rupert Grint owns an ice cream truck that he drives around with real ice cream and real toppings. And I think that's fantastic.
I think she's tearing up at that.
And he'll drive over to Hermione's house, Emma Watson's, and bring her ice cream.
Well, isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice? I like the idea of someone who's rich owning an ice cream truck and driving that as their regular car.
I think it's strange myself, but what do I know?
I think it's fantastic. People earn money.
So what is the sixth movie? The name of that one is?
Half-Blood Prince.
Half-Blood Prince. That will be coming out 2008, I believe.
November, December.
Yeah. Yep.
It's directed by the same guy that did Five, which is good.
And the same isn't the same script writer, screenplay by the same guy, too,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is great, because since Five was so far everyone's favorite.
Very exciting.
I think as you move towards the climax of the series, you need to have some sort of continuity. Because I've noticed kind of some changes within the films now that I've watched like three or four of them within a couple weeks' time, where there's some inconsistencies that bother me. And I think if they can get a core team involved that will keep that stuff consistent as they go to the finish, then that's a good idea.
Six is kind of a delicate one, too, because there's no real like huge pinnacle action.
That's what I was going to think. I wonder if everyone likes Five because there's so much action in it.
Delicate like a Jane Austen novel? Or...
Right.
It's more like a history novel is what it is.
Oh,
well, it'll be an interesting take to see if they can translate it to the big screen.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Well, everyone, we have yet more Harry Potter coverage coming up, but I think we should take a quick break before we get to it. So this is Scope 34. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is albino cave dweller. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
Three geeks on the internet, WSCP.
Wow.
That's a short break. What do you want?
Very classy.
I'm running out of bits.
Very nice. So our next thing we're going to be tackling is the Harry Potter quiz. I scoured the internet, got some of the toughest questions I could, and I'm going to pose, we'll just do five questions or so, to our esteemed panel and see what they have to say. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the panel?
You can answer. We'll throw it out to Molly first, and then...
Please don't make a fool of me.
The Potter expert.
The Potter expert, self-proclaimed.
No.
Not one tear shed. I'm very disappointed so far.
That's because we're not talking about the end of it all.
I know. Well, we're not going to. So.
I know. That's fantastic. I was worried.
So let's show, you know, some fake tears, some crocodile tears for the rest of the show. Question one.
That sounds like hiccups, I think.
Question one. When first walking to the Room of Requirement in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Hermione starts reading what book? I will give you four choices. You will give me the correct answer. Or you'll be punched in the gut.
Wow.
One, Jinxes for the Jinxed. Two, Common Curses and Their Counteractions. Three, The Dark Arts Outsmarted. Or four, Self-Defense Spellwork.
Ooh.
You seem to know a lot.
Two? No?
Common Curses and Their Counteractions?
I have never... You know what? This is a ridiculous question.
Well, they're only going to get worse.
Okay. You know what? I really don't know.
Jinxed for the Jinxed.
I thought that we were going to pass it to other people.
You didn't know that, did you?
Is that correct or incorrect?
No, I was still going to guess.
Jinxed for the Jinxed is correct. Okay, Jared, I forgot.
I don't know the answer.
Sorry, Jared. I will...
That doesn't sound like a book you would write, does it?
You don't get
one. It sounds like Shane made that up.
No?
I think he did.
I think he
did, too. Shane would never make things up.
I didn't.
Consult the book.
Who claimed credit for Percy Weasley storming from the house during Christmas... with his glasses splattered with mashed potatoes in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince? Fred, George, and Ron? Fred, George, and Ginny? Ron, Ginny, and George? Or Fred, Ginny, and Ron?
Wait, say that again?
Who claimed credit for
no,
Percy?
No, I just need the answers.
Fred, George, and Ron? Fred, George, and Ginny? Ron, Ginny, and George? Or Fred, Ginny, and Ron? So pretty much name the siblings. Three of them.
I would say Fred, George, and Ginny.
Adam?
If that's not right, then I would go with the twins and Ron.
Molly's correct.
Well, I was going to go with that, but you wanted a different answer.
No, I just wanted your confirmation.
I win!
Sir Nicholas D. Mimsy Porpington died October 31st. What year?
Wow.
1492, 1502. 1484 or 1424?
Wait, say the 14s again.
1492, 1484, 1424. Do you like how she's honing in on an answer, Jared? She's already eliminating. It's like, talk me through
this. That's classic SAT test taking
really
strategy.
You know, eliminate.
I'll take the 1484. Or the, one of the 14s. One of the 14s.
Well, there's only three. So, okay. Adam, do you agree with that? 1484.
Yeah.
Incorrect. 1492.
That was my second guess. These are all guesses.
Who was the first to tell McGonagall that
McGonagall? No subtlety.
McGonagall
that Harry would die after their first divination class in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Harry, Parvati, Hermione, or Seamus?
Seamus? Seriously?
Seamus.
I'd like to say Seamus.
Actually, until I saw the movies, I called him Seamus.
Go ahead. Boy, this bit is just terrible.
Yeah, it is. These are terrible questions.
I'd say Parvati.
Yeah.
Parvati. So you mispronounced it, too.
The two.
Harry is the correct answer.
Really? Harry? Yeah. I would have thought Harry would have kept it to himself.
Right, never tells adults anything.
Exactly. He's ridiculous.
Thank you.
I
have a question. Here's a trivia question, Ryan. What is Harry's last name?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've read all the books, but I didn't pay that close of attention, Jared.
What is Harry's middle name?
What is it? Ooh. I don't know.
You don't know his middle name?
No. Johnny?
Is it James?
It's James.
Okay. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's do one last question. I think you can get this one, and then we'll move on.
I got at least one right.
You're doing well. Which bottle did Harry drink to get through to the Sorcerer's Stone? The smallest one? The round one on the right side? The biggest one? Or the large one on the end of the left side.
And this isn't in the movie, so I can't even answer it myself.
And I guessed on this one and got it right when I took the quiz.
You guessed on this one?
Are you saying you didn't write these questions yourself, Shane?
Yeah, I scoured all the books and found the most inane, stupid knowledge I could.
Wait, okay, so say them again, but don't say the first one.
The smallest.
No, I said don't say the first
one. The round one on the right side.
He doesn't follow directions.
The biggest one or the large one on the end of the left side.
The large one on the
last
end.
Last house on the left, what?
No.
Adam?
Smallest?
Yanni. It's the smallest. You
I
know, you always pick
smallest,
the smallest
and I
bottle.
It was like, wait a second, that's no.
It's very Alice.
Okay. Jared, I just hit the table in frustration.
We can just edit. Failed. We can edit this part out from the break to.
Yeah, no, no, we got to keep it real for the audience.
So, Jared, take it home for us. I tease that you have a special segment for us about Harry Potter. Set it up for us. Knock it down.
Okay. So, myself and part-time Scope adventurer Earl. Went out to the Mall of America to experience the their book release, and they had quite the shindig going on there. They had it was in the rotunda, so they were using the stage, and they had various acts, magic acts, animals, things going on stage. They had different sign stations set up, and they were pottered up by people in costume. I mean, it wasn't like they had someone, you know, painting or planting corn seeds, and they were supposed to be mandrakes, and that's all covered in the sequence. But yeah, so that we went out there and we went there with the people and we experienced it, and it was a magical night, and we've captured some audio. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, please roll it.
Okay, we're going to roll it.
This is Earl reporting live at the for the Scope at the Harry Potter Festival at the Mall of America. It's quite crowded here. They have a magician on. I think they're playing music from the Harry Potter show. There's a science act going on here. People are in costumes. Cops have the area secure. It's crazy here. It's crazy here. We are now at the Mad Science Sparkling Imagination. I'm sorry, Sparkling Imaginative Learning Center. There's a scientist with a test tube, and he is making bubbles of gas. I'm going to try to get in and see if I can get a handful of bubbles of gas. All right, I'm going to try it out. I am holding out my hand to receive the bubble of gas.
He
the magician just
picture.
Made a bald guy appear. Oh, here we go, here we go. Oh, and here what exactly is this?
It's dry ice and dish soap.
But it makes an amazing effect. How does the bubble effect happen?
The gas Mr. goes through the tube and it just blows it like you blow a bubble.
Natural science in action. Natural science in action. Thank you, sir. People are buying Fuji water left and right. It keeps them refreshed for the exciting Harry Potter event that is coming their way. Within the hour, it's getting closer. You can't stop it. I am here at the Mall of America at the Harry Potter book festival item here, and I'm talking to Hagrid. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. It's nice being here.
Are you in the final book?
I don't know. I didn't write it.
All right, that's a good answer. How do you feel about the whole Harry Potter phenomenon coming to an end? The last book?
He's got his whole life in front of him. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. A lot of people have been kicking around the speculation that Harry Potter may or may not die. He may live.
Well, regardless of that, I will definitely be in the sequel.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear. Are you happy with your portrayal in the new film that had just come out?
I felt that I was underutilized. I should have been in there at least 45 more minutes.
I agree with that. Could you explain why you had scratch marks when you showed up in the film?
When I had what?
I remember correctly, Hagrid had scratch marks on his face when he first showed up in the movie.
I'm not allowed to talk about that. That's still top secret and can't be talked about until after it's cleared.
Understood. And who is your friend?
Well, this is Norbert.
Oh.
I was allowed to bring him over here. It was an exhibition.
All right. Well, thank you. Wait. You cannot see this on the podcast, but this dragon is moving and talking to me right now. It's amazing. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Hi. Hello from the Scope. How do you do?
Well, hello. I hope you're enjoying Herbology 101.
Well, what exactly are we doing here for Harry Potter?
Well, we're not planting mandrakes today, and not repotting. We're doing the seeds. We're making seedling mandrakes. First you get your soil, then your grain, and then your water, and then you make sure you cover them up and keep them warm.
Nice! Is this in any of the books or the movie? Or
what is it?
Is this from the books or the movie?
Oh, both. This is Professor Sprout, who is in charge of Herbology 101, and I'm Professor McGonagall, who is simply helping out tonight.
Excellent. Well, it looks like everybody's having fun. Thank you.
We are. We love getting our hands dirty.
Hi, guys.
Hi. And we have
Officer McCoy, Mall of America Security. Do you guys have your media badges with you?
We don't have media badges.
Okay. Are you guys aware that you guys were supposed to check in?
No, we're just kind of
recording the moment.
Just doing a podcast. We don't have any sort of media credentials.
I'm going to have to ask you guys to put the microphone at some point.
Okay.
Since you don't have any media.
Well, we're being shut down. Apparently, not at all as festive at the Harry Potter Festival.
We're closing in on the midnight hour. Yes. We've been shut down, as you no doubt have heard.
This is top secret COVID op.
We're still going to try to capture the countdown. We'll see how well that goes. The man is definitely out for blood tonight.
Yes. And we have a half hour to go.
Half an hour to go.
This has been Jared and Earl.
Yes, I'm Jared, and he is Earl.
Live at the final release of the final Harry Potter book at the Mall of America.
It was quite stupendous, and I don't know if you all caught it, but time sped up at the end there. It was a magical moment.
It was a very, very magical moment. Balloons fell, everything.
Yes, so I guess that's it, Earl, isn't it?
I believe it is. Even though they shut it down, we are still breaking the laws of physics to report for you, the valued Scope listener.
Exactly. So I'd say catch us next year, but this is the last one.
It is the last one. There's no more Harry Potter.
Yeah, so for Earl and Jared, stay tuned to this game.
Good night.
Real Pirate Radio.
Yeah.
Voldemort clearly had a hand in shutting you down.
That was our Mall of America Harry Potter
release.
Were
you guys there to buy the book, or you just...
Earl's wife and... Yeah. Some people were. I was just there to capture the moment.
Okay.
I was not there. I did get an invite. I did get an invite, but I kindly rejected it.
So there, as you know, we got shut down. Basically, apparently, we didn't follow the rules, didn't have our media credentials, and yeah.
Were you scared for your life at any point?
Never scared for my life. I was concerned that I might have been thrown into one of those infamous Mall of America holding tanks and possibly endured a cavity search, but never happened, so...
I want to point out that Earl's interviewing style was strangely similar to Bill the Comedian's interview style from Convergence a couple years ago.
Funny story about that. Like a week ago, he went up to Jess and he was like,
When's Convergence?
Oh, no.
He really wanted to do it again.
I would have had him back, but Adam definitely put the kibosh on that, so.
I didn't say you couldn't have him. I said, I'm not going.
Wait, is that that?
We were at the wedding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Do you guys have any story you want to talk about your book?
No, Search, I mean, I'm sure people were dressed sluttier, like sluttier witches at the Mall of America than they were at ours.
Wait, there actually was, it was pretty clean and it was very family friendly. There was lots of children there.
What was the average age at your party?
Oh, I don't know, probably mid to late teens.
Mid to late teens.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the average on ours, but I mean, there were definitely a lot of kids and then a lot of adults and then a lot of teenagers. But the one, the Red Balloon, the children's bookstore in St. Paul on Grand, when we drove by it, because we were going
to
Roosevelt.
It looked like it was all adults.
Right. And they're all dressed up.
Wow.
And but when you read what was going on, it sounded like it was a complete kids night, but it was all adults.
It was a party time.
We drove behind a bus that had painting all over it that said it was the night bus. It was cute.
And Shane, how was it to receive a box from Amazon the next morning with
the
book
great.
Enclosed?
It had a picture of Harry Potter on it, and it was waiting for me. And
was it festive at all? Any balloons popping?
Were you missing pages?
I heard birds chirping, like in your clip.
I'm not sure what the birds chirping was, but the machine gun fire, that was just they had dropped balloons from above, and that was the balloons popping. The kids couldn't resist. They were just popping.
Some Amazon orders for missing pages?
About 200 books from Amazon.
Oh. I'll have to check.
We're missing pages, about 30 pages.
I'll have to check because I haven't gotten that far.
It's somewhere in the 300s,
I
believe.
That would be very disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's Harry Potter, guys.
That is Harry Potter.
Is that all?
Molly, thank you for all of your information and your enduring my terrible quiz. You did a good job. I'm hoping you'll stick around for the rest of the show. We'll be doing our standard Under the Scope segment. That'll be exciting. So stick around for that.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up. And we'll be back in just a minute with Scope Sounds.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Intellectual Moment of the Day.
To douche or not to douche?
That was the Oprah Winfrey Intellectual Moment of the Day. Oh, no, you didn't.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
From the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com, this is Plastic Palace Alice with Empire Falls on your one-stop shop for pop.
Keep it locked and loaded right here on your Scope, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out.
the peace. These silent causes of you falling through the floor as your heart beats. We're killing.
Those other guys
under the scope.
Yes, indeed, it's our 34th look at the world of pop culture. All of you familiar with it know that we always start with the news. Mr. Adam,
no F and Chopper this week.
Take it away. What do you got?
Comic-Con is this weekend, and ahead of that, starting a big announcement from the world of moving comic books over to motion pictures. Why the Last Man has been formally announced. Now, Brian K. Vaughan, the guy that does Why the comic book, he sold the movie rights a while ago, so this we knew it was coming. For Molly and other people that don't know, Why the Last Man is a story about a plague of some sort that hits the world and only one male is left in the world. Well, one male human, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hence the why. Okay, why? I get it.
I think chromosome. Scooter told me about this.
Okay, I've talked to
or
Scooter.
No, you, or maybe you told me okay. about it. No.
But, yes. And it's being directed by DJ Caruso, the guy that directed Disturbia, which mm-hmm. people liked. I mean, I thought it was okay, but not mm-hmm. like...
Never saw it.
Anything great. And it's, yeah, it's about it.
Is this going to work as a movie, Adam? Or will they be able to have it be a self-contained story, or will it be something that maybe could be a sequel type of situation where they don't
a
actually...
A new franchise?
I mean, okay.
It's, you know, it's a long comic
it's
book.
It's a 55-page series, right? 52 or 50-ish?
Yeah, I thought it was 60 issues. 60, yeah.
62-ish. Okay, so I think it's 62 issues.
It's not done yet, so...
Right. It'll end...
A few months.
Right. No, I don't know how yeah. it would. I don't know. I mean, the central story, you could probably cut out a ton of the...
Yeah.
The
just treat it like a Potter book. And
I sense that it could be like another...
Hack things out, you know?
This could be like another Constantine. I really think it could go in that direction.
See, I liked Constantine.
Did you? But, you're part of the few people
I know,
that did.
I know.
Constantine was playing when I was in London.
There we go. Molly brings a little bit of cosmopolitan
but
flavor to the show.
But it was on the big screen, and they had this big poster of him, and I thought, I'd like to see that, but I never did.
Well, he looks nothing like the
right.
Constantine.
See, he's really? British. He's British and blonde.
And based on Sting. That's who Constantine is supposed yeah. to look like. Sting.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen Ted Theodore Logan. he does not look like
no.
Sting.
No.
Neither does Bill S. Preston.
He does not. What else, Adam?
Next story. Drew Carey decided to end his career, and he's accepted the job hosting The Price is Right.
Really?
What do you think about that,
I
Jared?
Thought Rosie O'Donnell was doing that.
No.
No? That's been out for a while.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is Drew Carey someone who is vanilla enough where he can, you know, make the show The Price is Right like it used to be without imposing his personality and his sort of sense.
I don't understand doing this at all. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I've only got one thing to say about it.
Thank you. Very, very nice.
I mean, I guess they probably threw a lot of money at him, but
a lot, high seven figures.
And I guess he likes hosting game shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did a crappy version of Whose Line Is It Anyway? So,
oh, the British version is so much better.
It is. Well, we'll have to see how it actually plays out. I mean, part of the thing that made the original Price is Right Bob Barker edition so great is he was on there so long, and he pretty much said, "This is going to be my career. I don't need to do anything else." And
I think it was the Barker beauties.
That didn't hurt, but.
That's what did it for
us. Yes. I mean, I just don't know if I can imagine Drew Carey being on this show for 30 years.
I think
from
it was
now.
The spade your cats and dogs thing.
What if Drew Carey was against doing that?
He's like, pro, I want your cats and dogs to fornicate.
Yes.
Well, wild animals in the streets. Yeah.
Every
Friday.
Screw
you, Barker.
Every Friday they're going to bring cats and dogs to fornicate on the show live.
Well, like it's a, wow. It could use a new segment. Maybe it's part of the Showcase Showdown.
Yeah, say a Plinko.
With cats.
Gen.
I'm going to drop cats on the shoots.
How many cats will this baby make, or this cat make? How there many babies?
Go. There we go.
It's a new game.
Yikes.
You probably...
Good effort, though.
I know,
good
I fumbled effort. That. I fumbled that so much.
Leave it to the professionals.
Adam, well, when they get here, we'll let them loose.
They're due here at about 9 o'clock. They're late.
The Emmy nominees were announced.
Yes.
And for the first time ever, I've seen 4 out of the 5 animated nominees, so I'm kind of excited about that.
Interesting.
Avatar The Last Airbender, Robot Chicken got a nomination this year, the South Park episode, the Warcraft one,
mm-hmm.
and The Simpsons. Best Comedy. Now, I was going to make a joke when introducing this category about one of the nominees. Guess which one it is? 30 Rock, Entourage, The Office, Ugly Betty, 2.5 Men.
Yeah.
Wait, Ugly Betty's a comedy, really?
Well, right, there's that too.
2.5
It's like Desperate Housewives being a comedy, but Ugly Betty is definitely more of a comedy than Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, it is.
Definitely.
I like Ugly Betty.
Yeah, it's a nice show.
Like, I understand a lot of people watch 2.5
but
Men, mm-hmm. but like,
why do they watch
like
it?
It's one of the highest rated shows. I don't understand.
The highest rated comedy.
Are they zombies?
I don't get it.
It's a terrible show. Sorry, folks. You may like it, but it's a terrible show.
I don't care.
It's going to be tight, y'all.
Yeah.
Are you going to comment on the best nominated show?
The one with the most nominees?
Show.
No.
Nominations?
No.
Would that be The Sopranos?
No.
I don't know. But
did Hope and Faith get anything?
Girlfriends for everything.
Girlfriends swept.
Girlfriend gets its own category.
The only other category I'll talk about real quick, then we can talk about other stuff about it. Drama. Boston Legal is still on.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy is not really good anymore.
No, it's terrible.
Heroes.
Everybody says that.
I mean, Heroes isn't really a good drama. Like,
no.
I don't
Heroes
like
is
Heroes.
A great show, but it's not that kind of show.
Right. It's like a popcorn kind
it
of.
It really is.
It's popcorn.
House and The Sopranos.
And Sopranos will win. Sopranos
no loss,
win.
Huh? Wow.
No.
The
no
critically
loss.
Maligned
I,
loss.
Know, I like House.
Actually, House could probably.
I like House. It's got a.
Just give him a little push there.
It had a nice little season ending. I don't know. I like House. where's the Battlestar Galactica? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Where is Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, well, that's the big travesty.
That's the big one, I think.
What, did it not get any nominations?
It got nominated for Best Ensemble in a Drama. And, like, best direction for one episode.
And where's Drive?
And it will not win. Yeah, where's Drive?
Four episodes of nonstop action. That should have been out there.
Well, you can only nominate one particular episode
Got
for those
it.
Categories. And
so they had a hard time picking. I understand.
They just split the vote.
The Colbert Report is up for, like, 4 categories this year. Last year was only 1, and he lost to Barry Manilow. So I think this year...
Oh, that'll be fun.
This year he's got...
This is the Colbert's year.
I'm surprised he hasn't talked about it yet.
Yeah, I know. This whole week he hasn't.
Maybe he's on vacation this week?
No, it's all been new. For the like.
He doesn't like to toot his own horn.
No, not at all.
But really,
he's very modest.
I am most excited because Battlestar Galactica got 4 nominations.
Awesome.
4. That's more than...
And what do they get it for?
Directing, writing, visual, and sound.
There you go.
Yeah.
You heard it here
Fitting
first.
Categories.
Nerd categories.
All nerd categories.
At least Please. It got nominated.
What else, Adam?
Harry Potter stuff. You mostly covered it.
Nominated for an Emmy? Interesting.
Didn't know.
8.3 million copies in the U.S. sold in the first 24
Read it with
hours.
An accent.
Oi. 6.9 million.
Pip, pip. Do your pip, pip.
Oi, pip, pip.
Who let Paul Hogan in here?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Yeah.
Really? 8.3?
Oh, jeez.
8.3 books. Amazing number.
Wow, you're a killer. What else, Adam?
Yes.
Adam, completely stumped.
There's an article I'm not really going to read, but it's like, so a lot of people, you know, the Michael Vick thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's really annoying.
Dog murderer.
Right. Oh. So a lot of people are like coming to not his defense, but they're saying, like, what's the big deal? They're only dogs.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
and it's like, that's the worst excuse I've ever heard in my life. Like, that's worse. Like, it's not worse than killing people. I'm not going
to
say
Michael
that.
Vick, get him out of here. He's coming to get you.
But it's like, they're helpless, you know?
And the dinosaurs.
It's like killing a baby.
Here's the thing. Torturing animals like that is one step away from a serial killer.
In a lot of cases, it's not even a step. It's just
it's right along with.
Yeah.
So, and you know, he's not a serial killer, but he is someone who is so disconnected with the real world. He's someone that has been told his entire life that he is
special
and better than everybody else.
And privileged, and he has a bunch of money.
And if you were to ask him, like, man to man, hey, you know, what you did, is that wrong? He would have absolutely no problem with what he did. That's the thing that really sickens me.
Word.
He should be banned from the NFL. That's my opinion.
I agree.
I agree 100%.
I think the Atlantic Falcons should have released him.
I am a racist, but that's the way it goes. He still should be banned.
I watched that press conference yesterday. Like, Arthur Blank, the guy that owns Home Depot or whatever, and he owns the Falcons.
Yeah.
Not happy.
No,
like,
he shouldn't,
you know, usually
be.
Usually they put on like a happy face.
My opinion,
try to spin it, but
yeah.
they weren't even bothering trying.
What the news today has been that, you know, they wanted to suspend him. The team wanted to, but the NFL said, no, let's wait for the legal process to go through. I think they should just cut him now and be done with it.
Because,
I mean, there's no way they can't resuscitate this. There's no way.
He's done.
That's
he's
ridiculous.
Done.
Yeah. You know who's really happy about this, though? Joey Harrington.
I thought you were going to say Garfield.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, because he
hates John's happy, though.
Okay, yeah.
Oh. Not Odie, though.
Normal or whatever.
Normal's in Abu Dhabi. He doesn't even know what's going on. Did you know Normal's a boy?
Normal's a boy?
Normal's a boy. Garfield refers to him as he.
Interesting. There you go, your Garfield tidbit of the day.
Stay tuned to the Scope for more Garfield knowledge right after this.
That actually is going
to
be replaced in the Scope poll. Your Garfield fact of the day.
There used to be a really funny website. A guy would take the single panel Garfield comics and strip all the words that Jim Davis does.
Yes.
Just strip them out. And so it was just a picture. And it was like the most morose, depressing pictures you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, it was just weird, like, how they looked without any, like, context. So we should start doing that. He got sued, though, so maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know if you guys noticed this yesterday, but, like, half the internet, like, either went down or seemed, like, really hard to get to.
Oh, what happened?
Because everything's in San Francisco.
Right. Okay, this is
that
rumor.
Why Netflix wasn't working?
Yes. Yep.
That's why LiveJournal was down.
Right.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
This is a rumor. Drunk employee kills all the websites you care about.
Wow.
365 Main, a data center at the edge of San Francisco's financial district, is popular with SOMA startups, including LiveJournal, TypeTide, Craigslist, a bunch of other blogging sites, Technorati, a bunch. The cause? A source close to the company says, someone came in shit-faced drunk, got angry, went berserk, and fucked up a lot of stuff. There's an outage of 40 or so racks minimum. Whoever it is, while we like how you roll in theory and practice, we'd appreciate it if you laid off the servers running websites we actually use.
Oh,
yeah.
That's very interesting.
Sucker.
Now, so 365 Main had a press release come out. They didn't mention anything about that.
Of course not.
But
no
shit-faced commentary in
any
of that.
Fucking up anything.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And last story, it's back to Harry Potter.
We love it.
As you know, a couple days
8.3
before,
books sold.
A couple days before the book was released,
why couldn't they send it to me?
On the internet, people started finding, like, the entire book had been photographed with a digital camera.
Is it been proven that that was the book, actually? Or was that
yes, that was the book.
Okay.
Yes. Well, whoever did it, apparently it was Jared, and he's trying to silence me. Whoever did it,
we got our criminal.
Forgot to convert the or strip the metadata out of the pictures.
Dumbass.
All the EXIF data, which has the serial number of the camera and, like, you know, the all.
I hope
all
he didn't
stuff.
Register it.
Well, right. Basically, if he did, it was a Canon Rebel, and if he did register it when he bought it, then he would have had to have sent the serial number information in.
I believe it was registered to Andre Agassi.
Wow. Agassi is really...
Wasn't he a big Canon Rebel?
Absolutely correct.
Was the book one of those books that went out for that deep discount that came out early?
No, because that was a day and a half, or 2 days early.
Well, no, some of those were up to 4 days early.
Oh, were they?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I know that they're being sued. No, what people are assuming right now is that it was either a library employee or... another book.
Former tennis star?
Retailer, because I guess libraries were getting them not in those same cases, like, you know, so they would be more easy to open and look at the books.
Say, hey, what's this?
Yeah. So, so that guy might be in a lot of trouble if...
Stupidity reigns supreme at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Well, thank you for your contribution to news, Adam. We appreciate everything that you do each and every show.
Oh, well, I appreciate you appreciating me.
Ah, absolutely. A little round of applause. Guess what, everybody? Also like to review things on the Scope. And this time, we're going back to the Scope Speedy CD review, back by popular demand. Molly, you're a big fan of the show, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I love the show.
Yeah, we've got tons of new music to review in a short time to cover them all. So this is how we're going to do it for those of you not familiar with the process. The three CDs we're checking out this week, we'll do a little bit of an overview and play a clip. And then Jared, Adam, and myself will get to the review. Here's the kicker, guys. We have 10 seconds each to give our opinion of said CD. Very, very exciting. And if we don't do it that way, Jared, we're bringing back nothing but Transformers coverage. So
clearly.
That's the rules.
Definitely there's a motivation to succeed.
Yes. And before I get started, I want to remind everybody about the Scope scoring system. It's a scale between 0 and 4 stars, 0 being terrible, 4 being as good as you get.
The cat's meow.
So now that all of that hubbub is out of the way... let's get this thing going. Adam, what is our first CD?
I don't know. I don't have the thing.
Oh, I've got it.
Molly.
Molly's taking over.
Molly,
Adam,
our document keeper.
Yeah.
Mollypedia keeping
it. I doodled on it.
There we go.
What is it, Adam?
Rooney.
Rooney. It's supposed to be Speedy, Adam. That's the kind of
Let's
the whole
go.
The essence of the
pip,
bit.
Pip. Pip.
Alt pop band Rooney returns to the scene with Calling the World, their first album in over 4 years. Once again, Rooney mines similar pop territory covered by bands such as The Beatles, Queen, going to compare them to the ELO, The Cars, and Jellyfish. And they sing about girls. A lot. Their first single, When Did My Heart Go Missing, is a catchy tune that is definitely inspired by great 80s pop music. Take a listen.
Love don't come so easily. This doesn't have to end in tragedy. I have you and you have me.
You can't help but groove.
You can't. That is Rooney calling the world. Adam, your 10 seconds begins now.
You chose the best song because it has hand clapping in it. It starts to fade on that part, but otherwise kind of sucks. Sounds a lot like crappy ELO and later on Weezer. And
I didn't realize I was right into it. Wow.
Jared, your turn is next.
I thought that the 80s pop sensibilities were going to go away, but no, they're here to stay. I heard some Queen and Rush influences, solid production throughout. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Time to spare.
Jared needs 10 seconds. My 10 seconds start now. Great songs in this album are really great. The problem is they have a lot of slow songs, which really take away from the total experience. I like the 80s pop references and marginally happy with it.
Marginally
happy with it.
I want the extra 2 seconds Jarrett had for my next one.
Go on. We're going to bank
You can bake that time, yep. It's
okay,
like
so
carry over minutes.
Let's give it a score. Let's give it a Scope score, Jared.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
Take notes, Adam.
When's Molly going to tell her story?
Molly has a personal Rooney anecdote. Molly, if you would.
Well, my roommate... found out about Rooney several years ago, and her roommate back then met Rooney in Europe and went home with a drummer.
Oh, really?
Yes,
my.
In Europe. I think in Prague or something like that.
Yeah. Well, Prague would be the place for
him. Old school only.
And how guys. And how was he? That's the question we want to know.
Ooh, she liked it.
Wait, where's my... I need a good button.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just comment one little comment?
Affirmative, Dr. Smith.
Okay. Go ahead.
I saw Rooney in concert last fall, and in February, and they played many things from the new album, and I didn't think it was as peppy in concert as the old stuff. Didn't really enjoy it.
Well, you know
concert.
What? They did.
Did the drummer have a smile?
I bet you he did.
We were giving him some looks from up on the balcony.
Oh, I bet you were. I know. I heard that they actually did this album like 4 times. You know, they started, stopped, and went back to it. So it wasn't. It was something they wanted to get out a lot earlier than what they did. I think it was like 3 years in the making. So
it sounds pretty good for only having 4 cracks at each song.
Yeah, not bad at all. Adam, what is our next song in our Scope CD Speedy Review?
It's actually the next album.
Album, 8.3 copies sold.
Can you play the clip of him stumbling, you know?
This one?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Yes, Smashing Pumpkins. It's been 7 years, but Billy Corgan has regrouped the Smashing Pumpkins, kind of.
kind for, of, exactly.
The very 90s-sounding zeitgeist. I didn't write this. Okay, so it's only two of the original members, but that's close enough, right? Zeitgeist is a grim, dark, and sometimes meandering endeavor. Here's a sample of Tarantula.
That was the Smashing Pumpkins' latest tune, Tarantula, off of the album Zeitgeist. Adam, stop writing notes with your lady friend over there, and you have 10 seconds, starting now.
Since when was the world clamoring for a heavy metal Smashing Pumpkins album? I really liked Zwan's album, Mary Star of the Seas, and this was a complete departure from that direction, which saddened me.
Jared, you heard Adam.
I did.
Prattle on. It's your turn now.
I recognize that Billy Corgan and Jimmy Chamberlain are the core of the Pumpkins, but really it's not Pumpkins without Darcy and James Iha in there. Could be any band, and there really weren't any standout tracks that I heard.
And my 10 seconds start now. Couldn't agree more with Adam. Zwan was a great band with a great album. This has none of the hooks, none of the catchiness, too much sonic muddiness.
You know what's weird? The two of them are the two that were in Zwan also.
Yeah, that's the fact. It's no different from Zwan except they turned up the amps a little bit. That's about it. Jared, let's give it a score.
Oh, what was the score? There it is.
The Scope score is 1.25 stars.
Not faring well.
And for those of you playing the home game, that means move ahead 2 spaces.
And not 1 2-star rating so far, Adam. What do you think of that?
I'm amazed.
Break from our normal summer fair.
I know. Final review of our Scope Speedy Review.
Yes. Our final review of the day comes from Spoon and their new album, Ga 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 Ga.
One more Ga, actually. That's five. Sorry.
Or Ga times 5, as people are calling it.
Interesting.
The Portland, Oregon, Austin, Texas
no?
band.
Did found I get it moderate, wrong?
It's Austin.
Sorry.
Found moderate success in the alternative
not into band
world with their
either.
Previous 2005 release, Gimme Fiction, selling 160,000 copies.
Terrible. Wikipedia's wrong.
Yeah, it's weird.
What does Mollypedia say?
Mollypedia.
Ga times 5 sports a more upbeat sound and is
Do
even
I get to talk now?
More accessible than any of their previous releases. Let's listen to the first single off the album, The Underdog. Dog.
I hear a call of a lifetime ring, felt the need to get up for it. Oh, you cut out the middleman, get free from the middleman. You got no time for the messenger, got no regard for the thing that you don't understand. You got no fear of the underdog,
problem.
That's why you will not survive.
Heavy. You hear that?
Ooh, hand claps.
And horns.
Yeah.
Adam?
Yeah.
Your verbal masturbation session to Spoon starts now.
There's 2 songs with hand clapping in it, so that's pretty awesome. There's 3 songs with horns, and it's not ska sounding. It's just good, like, doo-wop horn goodness. It's probably definitely the most successful album, and good.
Wow.
You're really bad.
Jared, Adam said a mouthful. Can you repeat it? Go.
Never having heard of Spoon before, I really enjoyed this album. I thought that it was a great use of stereo. I love the gritty production elements and the driving rhythms of some of the early tracks. Really got into it.
I guess that leaves me. Here I go! Album complex and engaging, and it gets better after every listen. Not a standard pop album, but it doesn't need to be. You'll love it, people. And give it a score.
There it is.
The Scope score is 3.5 stars.
I clearly haven't adjusted to the pace of the Speedy CD review because I'm not on top of those scores. I apologize to the audience.
But still a fantastic job. Molly, what do you know about Spoon?
Oh, I like Spoon. And I heard a couple of the songs off the radio and I've already gone to iTunes and purchased them the right way. Legally.
Just like Adam gets all of his music. Right off of iTunes.
Yeah. Adam gets review copies.
If I can't find it on iTunes and I say, hey, Adam, you want to hook
Did
me up?
Did you find it on iTunes?
Exactly. And he says, yes, it's on this special page of right. iTunes.
Some people don't know how to search.
It's very difficult. I would suggest just typing in Spoon, but that's just me. So that wraps up our Scope Speedy CD review.
Yeah.
I think we did a great job, great pacing, and I think that leaves only one more element in Under the Scope. That would be coming soon.
I thought it was the milk break.
Milk break. Adam, engage us with all of the things coming at us in the next
week. Yes, tell us a story, Adam. This will be fun.
So music, July 31st. This album's never coming out, by the way. Korn's still yet to be named album.
I thought you were talking about Chinese Democracy
still
from
yet
GNR.
To be named.
Oh,
yeah.
It won't come out, but I thought, what the heck?
Yeah, right? No, we should keep it in here every week.
Yeah. Molly, one of the biggest Korn fans ever.
Right.
Stay tuned to the show.
She only
Korn
wears
updates.
Adidas clothing.
Backwards K.
I like that song where they shoot backwards that person. On, is that them?
Hey man, nice shot.
No, that's Filter.
Yeah.
I know.
You suck.
No, but that. Do they sing that
the
one where the bullet goes
yes.
through?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Todd McFarlane of Spawn fame working on that video, yes. I believe.
Okay.
What else, Adam?
You lost her on that, yep. So good job.
That's a nerd helping out on some other band.
Common's
video.
New album's out.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to drop. G Love.
It's going to drop. There's a song from Common's album that I like.
Common guy from. KFAN got an album.
Wow, Jared.
You know, so when Common's last album came out, I thought I'd like it from everything I was reading about it. It was just boring. So
I've only heard one song, but
is
I like
comma
I
or
like
common?
Common.
Oh. Common.
I like the one
C-O-M-M-I-N.
Song.
C-O-M-M-I-N.
So this is for the people or something like that. That's
yeah.
the name of it.
It's like, I mean,
sounds
it's,
great.
It's, anyway. G Love and Special Sauce have a new album coming out for the people that like them for some reason.
Wow. Adam never
clearly no love.
I just don't understand.
No love for the G.
I just don't get it. I think
you
that's the issue.
Like
I think
the,
it's the special sauce that turns them off.
So
it just doesn't have any staying power.
Okay. I like cold.
Let me ask you something, Adam. Yeah. When you get a Big Mac, do you order it without the special sauce?
No, because you don't need to. Why? What?
Wow. Very confusing condiment comedy here.
That's the title of my next podcast.
See, you're not
condiment comedy corner.
August 7th, I guess you put this on here just for me, Architecture in Helsinki's new album comes out.
There's literally nothing coming out in the next 2 weeks.
I still say, in terms of like bizarre sounding 12-piece pop bands, they're the best.
Well, there are a lot of them. There's a glut, so I'm glad you're paring it down for them.
It's the new trend in popular music.
And Eve's new album.
12-piece.
They play oboes. How do they fit on the stage?
They group up.
Don't they like bump elbows when they're playing?
They're all friends.
They actually loft the stage like they're in college.
Do they lock elbows when they're playing?
What's really strange is they actually tour in a Cooper Mini.
How do they do it? Like clowns. They got giant feet.
August 3rd, movies. The Bourne Ultimatum comes out.
Yes!
Very excited.
Apparently, isn't that one going to be nothing like the book like the rest of them?
Okay,
pretty much, but...
Yeah, the issue is that one of the main plot lines from the first book is not in the first movie, so putting it in the last movie... Makes no real sense.
From what I understand, the books deviate incredibly from the movies deviate incredibly from the books.
The second movie takes place in Prague, but the second book takes place in China. So how is that the same?
Well, that's just
also
cheaper to
China.
Shoot there.
it's not shot in... Well, actually, no, it was shot in Prague, too.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Prague is pretty cheap to shoot in, actually.
So I saw the trailer for this next movie,
apparently
and I had
you can
no
pick
idea
up drummers
what it was.
There, too.
For the longest time, because it's like about like girls and a clique, and then they get separate. It's like very typical.
Yeah.
It's the Bratz movie.
Yeah,
I would assume that would have been animated. I was.
You would think Paul Abdul doing
and
most of the costumes
already,
for the Bratz movie.
They've already got animated Bratz movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're direct to video though. They're not.
This is big budget Hollywood stuff.
Budget.
Yeah, is Raven,
I think this movie can actually
Raven
do pretty well.
Raven in the movie? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Raven?
Like from It's So Raven?
Yeah.
Raven Simone?
The Cosby Show?
Yeah.
No.
I can see her as being one of the brats.
Way too hippie.
No? She's too Raven to be in this movie.
But. Here, you get one of these.
I stole that joke from Jess, by the way. So.
Okay.
Oh, then you can
Jess, we need you here.
Thank you. Andy Samberg's movie Hot Rod.
I think he's the only thing that's good about Saturday Night Live anymore. Him and his digital Akiva shorts.
And the other guy that works with. I think that Hot Rod is going to be.
Not good.
I think it's going to be bad.
Yeah. I think it looks funny.
I'm sorry. I think it's going to be bad. I don't get a good vibe.
What? I love Andy Samberg, but I think it's going to be bad too.
Yeah. Yes.
It could be bad in a good way, though.
Maybe.
But I agree that the Lonely Island guys are the only. Because all three of them, right? They're the only good thing on
SNL
right now.
Wait, what's the other one that I like?
Huh?
The other guy. From
Matt TV?
SNL that I like.
I don't know.
The one who's going to be in. The one who's going to be in Superbad is one of the policemen.
Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, what is his name? He does the Italian guy on that show.
He does the Italian. He's got the long face.
I know who you're talking about.
Yes. Okay, I like him too.
Peter O'Toole.
Yeah, he does Peter O'Toole.
Yes, he does.
And he does...
I like him.
The Scent of a Woman. He does all sorts of...
Yeah. Well, I like him and Andy Samberg.
Let's do a show devoted to him.
There we go. Devoted to the guy we don't even know his name. He's that good.
This is my birthday, by the way, and a lot comes out this day.
Go ahead.
You'll have plenty to do. Still on August 3rd. The 10 comes out. That's from the creators of The State, which, by the way, The State on DVD was finally announced.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
big news.
7 years delayed, but that's finally coming out.
I've
and they're
never
doing
heard of
commentary. I know
MTV you were sketch like comedy
six.
Show.
Oh, okay.
Cult.
And they're doing commentary on every episode, so I'm excited
good for them.
About that. But this is
they got music rights for all that.
No, they had to take some of they got as much as they could, but they're doing the music on the ones that they have to.
Fair enough.
I assume that they'll just. Get the partial rights, the ones that allow you to do like covers or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But this isn't actually by the entire.
Are you making a robot out of pens over there, Molly?
I am.
I am affirmative.
I am affirmative. Robo boogie.
Robo buddies.
I confirmed it. They're dead.
I kicked one. It was dead.
I'm not caught up on that show, by the way.
Sorry. That was the first episode.
How could you not be caught up on that?
Binary solo. Yeah. 0000.
The second song. I didn't like the second song. I think it's what it came
And this Flight of the Conchords moment has been brought to you by Tab.
The robot song. Okay, but anyway, it's a lot of people didn't realize this, but Night at the Museum was actually written by two of the Old State guys.
Hmm.
And they're doing this, too, because they got like a lot. And the that ping pong movie that comes out in September.
Another one that looks terrible.
Balls of Fury.
Yes. Patton's in that one, though, so I'll... Yeah. I like Molly's like, oh, nice. I have no idea who that is.
I don't know who
So is the positively ancient looking Christopher Walken.
Underdog comes out on
August 3rd.
August 3rd, too.
Yes. Yeah. What are you going to do?
How will you decide?
And Earl have a date to see that one together?
I don't think so.
Wait. Underdog, a perfect representation of what an adaptation should be, everyone. That's what I'm saying.
Are these all the movies that are coming out?
These are all August 3rd. It's a big day. Keep going. There's more.
Everyone
loves it. August
3rd. When is Superbad coming out?
17th.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's the end of the summer.
I think I'm going to be out of town.
This out of town
moment has been brought to you by Tab.
August 10th.
We're just inventing sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. Stardust, that weird sci-fi movie that you've been seeing trailers for.
Neil Gaiman.
Is that? Oh, yeah.
Which sci-fi movie?
Graphic novel.
Stardust. Claire Danes. Is that have Claire Danes in it?
Claire Danes, Robert De Niro.
I think I want to see that. Oh, I don't like
De Niro's in it, really?
Yeah, they say it could be like another Princess Bride. That's kind of what it's being linked to. But I don't know
really?
If it's
going
to be.
Rush Hour 3, yeah. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw Rush Hour 2 in a adult theater. Now, it's not a porn theater. It's a theater that you have to be 18 or older to go into.
Where do they have that?
In D.C. Yeah, so there's no kids. But it's like $2 extra than like whatever your normal price is. And they have a bar there. And like this is back when I didn't really drink much.
That would make Rush Hour great.
But I was like, what can I have to drink? You know, even though
I'm
going to
need
it because
Chris Tucker's in this film.
Don't you ever touch a black man radio?
That is an amazing Chris Tucker impression. That was actually Jared, not an actual.
It wasn't a clip from Rush Hour 2 at all.
Meaty.
Could you do a Jackie Chan for us?
Jeremy Piven. Wait, no, it wasn't Jeremy Piven in Rush Hour 2, was it? Who was
you want to die in the world that are coming out of my mouth? What are you talking about?
He sounded
about?
Actually kind of deaf there. Like, he kind of sounded
I
know,
like...
Deaf? I get one shot.
That's conceptual. I like
who
that.
Who put them in their suits for the...
Do you want to die in the world?
And Skinwalkers.
Never mind the black man.
How's that robot coming?
0011.
Skinwalkers, you're excited about that?
Not really.
What is that about? I don't even know.
13-year-old boy is targeted by two werewolf packs in the midst of a brutal civil war. While one side wants him dead, the other looks to protect him, leaving it up to the mother's... Oh.
Next.
It sounds like...
I'm not in kid movies.
That one movie without the vampires, though.
Yeah. I know.
Scent of a Woman.
DVD, July 31st.
Oh, yeah.
300, Hot Fuzz, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Season 2.
Sabrina! Woo!
Not the animated one. Sorry, it's the...
Forget it, Jared.
If you haven't seen Hot Fuzz, you better see it
now.
Hot Fudge.
Hot Fuzz is good. See it.
Never seen it.
Hot Fuzz is good.
Is it better than Shaun of the Dead?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
They use all the good jokes from Shaun of the Dead, plus they have better ones.
Oh, so I get to see the same jokes in a completely different
That's
setting.
A really good way to sell it, by the way.
Yeah, can't wait.
I know. Still on DVD, August 7th, The Serbia, Flash Gordon, Savior of the Universe Edition.
A new
Earl's very excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt to coincide with the Sci-Fi Channel's
The Muppet Show.
Complete destruction of this franchise.
Season 2. Yes. Rome Season 2.
I can like say anything Rome. I want over here. No one would care.
Rome's no one's done. Listening.
No one's listening to
Sorry,
me.
Sorry, I'm just trying to power through them.
I know you are, and we're trying to distract you.
I know. Simpsons Season 10. Mm. See, it's not 2 anymore. That was the theme. But now we're back to the Tick Season 2. Super Friends Legendary Superpowers Show. And it just says TMNT. Is that like the cartoon?
The movie.
The animated movie.
The movie. TMNT.
Which was entitled Timint.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Timint.
And that's it. Nothing else is coming soon.
Well, you covered a lot. You said a mouthful, my friend.
Well,
There's no question about it. Jared, let's close up Under the Scope.
Under the Scope.
The marathon continues. That is episode 34, Jared.
We're in the last mile.
Okay.
People are cheering us on. They're giving us water.
We hit the wall.
The legs are cramping a bit, but we can run through it.
I think we hit the wall right about the Harry Potter quiz.
We did. Shane, I'm going to read some comments.
We have some?
Anyone who goes to the website has probably read these already, but not nearly as eloquently as I'm going to say them.
Hmm.
Comment number one, Nikki said, the mushroom and Swiss burger at the DQ Grill and Chill. She says a chill and grill, which is incorrect.
Uh-oh.
It's almost as awesome as the scope. Why do I pick people's comments apart? I always go into after the grammar and their spelling.
And
I don't know what it is
and
with
then
me.
They never write back.
I can never just let it go. I've got a needle, you know. Like, anyway. So there you go. It's a great burger. Go check it out at your local DQ Grill and Chill.
I say avoid it. Get the flame burger.
If you don't like mushrooms, then it's not
the
good
flamethrower?
Or the, whatever, yeah. The flamethrower.
Gary writes
burst people into flames.
A comment to
Jared.
Situation you talked about from Convergence in the last show.
Yes.
Gary says, why didn't Jared just man up right away and sleep in the same bed with Mike? Then Carrie and Shane wouldn't have had to fight. If Shane and Carrie paid for the room and Jared was jumping in, then Jay either shares the bed with Mike or kick him to the floor, which just sounds like what happened. Where was the fight? You guys were drunk. I have to say Carrie was a little bit at fault, and S&C should share a bed, and then whatever happens in the other bed is the other bed's business.
Do you have a flowchart of that?
I don't know.
Confusing.
Apparently I'm at fault, and I suck, but I shot back on the board
you
to see my
back.
Response. It was always going to be Shane, Carrie, and myself from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I was entitled to a bed. I wasn't interested in sharing it with a man, but in the end, it happened.
I think you should have manned up and just had sexual relations with that man.
I was going to go that far.
Well, if you put a wig on him, it wouldn't have been as bad.
I don't know.
A woman.
Mike's always got a very stubbly face, though. That's the problem. You
if
know?
He would shave more often, I might have been more open.
He can never pass for that.
I like that from Molly's perspective. On the last show, we talked about DQ and sleeping with men in hotel rooms. That's all we talked about in the last show.
Yeah, that's it.
It was an important milestone show.
Wow.
In more ways than one.
Brian writes in with some support for me. I support Shane and for Shane in this therapeutic attempt to feel vindicated. After all, why should he give up his bed for someone who didn't even let him finish his bottle cap project? Also, Jared is a saint for letting someone that drunk sleep in his bed. Drunken people occasionally have the nasty tendency of vomiting on their sympathetic friends.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Don't they also urinate on their friends?
They sure do.
You say it like you know it.
Wow. If you want to urinate on us, you can email us.
We're not all into that, by the way.
Speak for yourself.
If you want
only
to urinate
when there's
on Adam,
jellyfish.
You can send a comment to comments@thescopeshow.com or call our voicemail line at 206-350-7056 or just go to the blog and comment there and I'll read it here and it'll be fun.
And you'll rip on it and then they'll never respond to us.
They will.
Chain, right back to
everyone, the thing is, everyone's an attention hound. They all want to be loved. And we give it to them.
Absolutely. Well, you know, this has been a fantastical, magical, spiritual Harry Potter themed episode, Molly. And I'm going to thank our...
Was I supposed to say something?
No, you weren't. Okay. Thank you, Molly. You can come on the show anytime you want.
Really? Are you just saying that?
But you can come on. You are now official member of the Scope.
You're part of the reserves. So we may have to call you up to active duty.
Yep.
If I request to come on every week, would you deny me?
Probably.
Well, we don't do show every week, so it might be awkward.
Damn. You'd be just in Jared's basement sitting down here in the dark.
Is this your time yet? This is my practice one, so next time I'll be better.
Do you know anything about pop culture?
A little bit.
Well, we have a pop culture trivia contest coming up.
You want to tease that, Shane?
Yes, coming up this September, everyone, we have got the Scope World Series of Pop Culture Part 2. Ooh. You saw those guys do a half-assed version on VH1.
Where they copied
us.
Watch us take care of it the right way.
Business.
I asked you to be on that show, and you denied
me. Well, listen to this. We are taking requests. We are taking applications for people that want to be on the second version. So,
three references, please.
So if you are interested and you have at least a passing knowledge of all things pop culture.
We were going for people with very strong ones.
Well, I mean, that might be asking a little too much, but you need to know something. You can't pretend that you do and then come on and get eliminated in the first round.
We don't want any three and outs like that.
We want a little competition.
Well, I think some of Adam's questions were kind of ridiculous.
Well, I mean, hey, you can take that, Adam?
Yeah, like, who played What's-Her-Name's dad on that one episode of Saved by the Bell that you came up with?
Remember, you came up with that.
Wait, but your Assassin's one.
The one I didn't wind up using?
Oh, okay, sorry.
Molly, maybe next time. You know a lot about Assassins. You can come on the Scope World Series.
Listen to the show, Molly. That's the key on this. In this World Series of Serial Killers. Anyway, if you want to be a part of this, just email us at comments@thescopeshow.com or post at the website, at the blog, whatever we do. Call our voicemail and let us know you want to be involved. It is coming up sometime in early fall. So
we do accept cash bribes, so make those checks payable.
Get ready for it.
Me.
Once again, I want to thank Molly for being on the show. Thank you very much. I also want to thank Jared and Adam for working so hard to take care of the show a little bit earlier than normal.
Yes.
We will be back in 2 weeks, everybody, with Scope Show number 35.
35.
So for everybody here at your Scope Show, thank you, and we will see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing 206-350-7056. Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, hasta la vista. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.